بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا. اللهم نور قلوبنا بعلمك واستعمل أبداننا لطاعتك ووفقنا لما تحب وترضى من القول والعمل والفعل والنية والهدى، إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح، يا الله يا وهاب يا فتاح. ما بعد. Again, we're in the chapter of Sunnah, the adherence of the Sunnah in our Mashaykh. That's what we're covering for the past few days. We haven't been able to finish the whole section, but in the interest of time, that we have limited days left, I would like to get some to be able to get a chance to read some selections from the other chapters as well. So there is the chapter on Salah, and inshallah, let us read through a few stories in that. Let's all come close together, please. If there are brothers outside in the banquet hall, encourage the Aminat's lobby, see if we can also get them to come and join. If someone is, you know, not needs, sometimes we need a little reminder. So we request everyone to come close together, inshallah, ensure there's no gaps in between. And we renew our niyyah that, Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, I'm very weak, I am filled with flaws and mistakes, many of which I'm not aware of. Oh Allah, allow this gathering to become a means of opening up my own flaws and faults in front of me, and allow me to be motivated to make an effort to change, and allow me to lead a life that is exactly the way you would want us to lead our life. Allahumma ameen. Salah is the most sacred of all ibadat and the first that we'll be reckoned for on the Day of Judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, fear Allah regarding the Salah, fear Allah regarding the Salah, fear Allah regarding the Salah. The difference between a believer and a disbeliever is Salah. Salah is a symbol of Islam. Whoever puts his heart into Salah and prays it in the best manner, fulfilling all the desirable mustahabbat and sunan, is a true believer. Allah never chose anything greater than Iman and Salah. Had there been, it would have been assigned to the angels. Night and day, some angels are in ruku' while others in prostration. So meaning, the most virtuous acts is what the angels have been given. And what are they doing? They're involved in Salah. Some are doing ruku', some are doing sujood. Some are in Qiyam. So Salah is the pillar of Islam and the greatest struggle. And when divine retribution is about to strike, it is the masjid goers who are saved by the virtue of the Salah. Subhanallah. When divine retribution, fitna from Allah, adab, is about to strike, then it is the masjid goers who are saved by the virtue of Salah. So we see the importance of fasting, alhamdulillah, is still in many members of and many sections of the community. Still there. But when it comes to Salah, that is slowly diminishing. It is very accepting for people to say, yeah, my son fasts, alhamdulillah. My daughter fasts, alhamdulillah. Salah, here and there. So the idea of Salah being a non-negotiable, is something that we see is leaving us, including marriage. That if a person says, oh, this is a very good proposal, great person, etc., great character, great citizen, great physical features, but a little bit here and there in the Salah. And they said, but you know what, not everything is about that. You know, we'll sort that out. When we learn that, subhanAllah, the difference between Iman and Kufr is Salah. If we actually believe that, then a person cannot withstand their son and daughter, or their spouse, or their sibling, is just not praying. He will burn inside. If you can't change them, you will cry so much that you say, okay, at least this has to change. And at the end of the day, what are we responsible for? We're responsible to make the effort and make dua. But when it is easier said than done to cry for something when someone wants something so badly, he cries. One brother told me he's trying to get married to somebody, and he said his dad said no or something like that. I said, so now what? He said, I changed my life. Past 6 months, he said, I haven't missed tahajjud. He's a random kid. I said, wow, 6 months you have. He said, yeah, I didn't miss tahajjud for 6 months, praying, you know, salah in the isha or fajr, whatever, in the masjid. But this was impressive, 6 months no tahajjud. And then he said, I had a bad relationship with my dad. So now, every single day I serve him, I do khidmah, I take care of the room, I meet him before he goes to bed. And then after 6 months, he still said no. So I'm done now, right? I wasted my time. Real story.
So I was amazed. I said, SubhanAllah, to get married to one person, look at what this young 18, 17 year old has done. Impressive. So when we genuinely want something, we're able to do amazing things. So when we say, I want my son to be guided, I want my daughter to start praying salah, I want her to start wearing hijab, the proof is in the pudding. To what degree have I cried in front of Allah? To what degree, how many days can we say I have prayed my salat to tasbih? How many days have I prayed my salat to tahajjud? And asked Allah Azza wa Jalla that, Ya Allah, this is my pain. Biggest pain in my life is that my children are not obedient to you. They're obedient to me. They're very sharif, nice people. They study well, they do well, everything. But they'll never disobey me. But Ya Allah, they disobey you every day. They're not performing salah. They are not observing the basic fundamentals of the deen. That should be the most painful thing to us. And alhamdulillah, when we recite dua, when we recite Quran, things happen. One of the ayat which we which our ustad hafizahullah has mentioned, very effective for bring a musaf here please, for trying to guide people by the will of Allah to remove whatever difficulties are going. It's called ayatul qutub in surah al imran. This is ayah, ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ أَمَنَةً نُعَاسَ. Ayah number 154. Okay, write that down. Surah number 3, ayah 154. Okay, so this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the battle of Uhud and how Allah azza wa jalla sent down his special mercy on the companions and the difficulties they were going through, etc., etc. Allah has put effect in various ayats. Allah has put effects in various ayats. So, Mawlana Abdullah Sahab Hafidullah says, the person who is worried about his son or daughter, or his mom and dad, their kids are worried about their parents, and my dad doesn't pray, my mom doesn't pray, what do I do about that? So a person can read Ayatul Kursi in Hisar, Ayatul Kursi, what does it mean? Like, you know, those of you who are joining us in our dhikr in the night, that's what we do, right? Read Ayatul Kursi in our mind 3 times for protection, and make niyyah that Ya Allah, through barakah of Ayatul Kursi, allow an aura of protection to be around me, then nothing can affect me. Do that first. You want to protect yourself. This Ya Allahu Ya Hafidhu Ya Muhit that I read sometimes, this is also for protection. You know, when you look at how much protection we do when you go visit us, when a doctor is going to see a patient inside the clinic or in the hospital room, you know, the nurses, what are they putting? Masks over the face. You're a doctor. What are you worried about? But I could be the doctor. It could be anybody. If there's a patient very sick, I could get affected by that. Yes? So now you put a physical mask over your mouth because you want to protect yourself from that. Similarly, we all, when engaging with others, anybody, understand that if there's airborne sicknesses, like viruses, similarly there is attacks on our heart that happen when you sit in the company of people who are infected, spiritually infected. Have you ever felt that? You go speak to somebody, you come out, you feel different. What's going on? Right? There's shayateen on that person. There's toxicity, there's negativity. And when you come close to that person, you sit with him, some of that stuff jumps on you. It happened. I've witnessed it so many times myself. It's true. So when you go into a meeting, or you go to speak to somebody, read Ya Allahu, Ya Hafidhu, Ya Muhit. Right? Multiple times, with the niyyah of protection of ourselves. Right? And what else? Read Ayatul Kursi. That whatever's on this individual should not come unto me. And then read this Ayatul Qutub. What ayah did I say it was? 154. Right? Of Surah number 3. And you read that multiple times. If it's a longer ayah, it's about 3/4 of a page. Read it, try to read it 21 times. If you read it consistently for a week, inshallah you'll have it. Yeah, I memorized 21 times. If you want to read it more, read it with this niyyah that Ya Allah, whatever shaitan is on this person's mind, remove it. That's all you got to say. The biggest problem right now, when you say all of a sudden my son has become like this, my daughter has become like this, kya hai? This is shayateen are messing with the people's minds. So alhamdulillah, Mawlana Ubaidullah Damat Barakatuh mentioned one brother, he was worried about his father. He said, my father doesn't pray namaz at all. What do I do? So he said, he gave him this, you know, nuskha, gave him this prescription. And he said he took the incense or no, not that. What do you call this thing to remove the mosquitoes? Mosquito repellent. He took mosquito repellent and he read and he blew on it 21 times. And then he burned it, lit it on fire so that the smoke comes, you know, because they use that in Pakistan and here also. So he said he put it around his around where his dad used to sit. In just in a matter of a week or more or less, subhanAllah, all of a sudden his dad said, you know, I want to start coming for salah. Okay? So this is, many brothers have reached out for different situations. My sister, my brother, my mom and dad. When you give them a'mal, and if they do it, honestly, it's just the problem gets solved. The biggest issue is not that we don't have a solution. The biggest issue is that we don't want to practice on the solution. We want to discuss. Discussion doesn't get you anywhere. You don't need. You need 30-second answer, just do it. 30-second answer, practice on it, then you won't even have to. And most of the time, mashallah, no one comes back to me. The people who only come back are the people who are not doing it and say, oh, it didn't work. And they ask them, did you do anything? No, I didn't do anything. The ones, it's so, my own experience for 10, 15 years is the one, just ka maslaha ho jaye na, wo phir kabhi nazar hi nahi aata. The one whose problem gets solved, he never comes back. Then I ask, oh, I remember you asked me something. I forgot what the problem was. I remember you came and spoke to me. What was it? Whatever that issue was, did it get resolved? Of course. Well, yeah, though in the first week. But it would be nice if you just sent a text. You know, no gift cards, nothing. Just a text like, hey, you know, problem got solved. But this is the ajeeb dunya, right? I mean, it's so ajeeb. One person came to my house, sat with me in my home. He's like, that's it, I'm divorcing my wife, I'm done. I said, why are you divorcing her? What happened? He said, no man, I realize we're not a match. You have 4 kids, your youngest is maybe 3, your oldest is 15. You figure that out today? You're not a match? He's like, yeah, is this the. I said, no man, leave all this. Just do these adhkar. And he said, how is this, you know, going to happen? That's it, I brought my divorce papers here. I said, I don't want to look at your divorce papers. First, do the dhikr. Uske baad kya hua? He met me the next day. I said, did you do it? He said, no, tell me, can you do one more time? So I sat with him, I gave him the card, I read on him. After that, I never saw him. One day I prayed Asr right here. He was next to me, prayed Asr. 6 months later, I turned around, salamu alaikum. I looked at him. I said, bye, oh man. I see you after a long time. How are things at home? You know, I hope, like, did you find another wife or what? Well, I kid you not, I'm in the masjid, I'm telling you. He was sitting there after Asr. He looked at me, he said, Sheikh, I'm in honeymoon phase. I said, yeah, what did I do wrong that you never told me like that? You know, you could give me a little, you know, what you call souvenir from your honeymoon. Another guy came with his dad. Another person came with his dad and said, that's it. My son, he wants to divorce our daughter-in-law. I'm telling him, don't. She's such a good lady. And he says, no, I hate her. This is crazy. Again, divorce papers. They brought it to my office. Kya karna chahiye? I said, kuch bhi nahi karna chahiye. Do dhikr, do amal, that's all. They've said, no, it cannot happen. So I gave them things, but the father and the son couldn't do it. Unfortunately, we're so weak. We can lift 200 pounds, 300 pounds, but we can't do 5 minutes dhikr. The reality, I'm telling all of us here, we just can't. Hota hi nahi humse. Amal nahi hote. We can't do amal. Everything else we'll do. We'll go all the other end. Bhai, I'm going to this country. I'm going for this tour. I'm going for this. What are the tours going to do? You go for this tour. You're going to go tour this place, that place. For main thing is not going to bring you and your wife are not going to start loving each other. Your kids are not going to start loving each other. Tours. Bring the amal in your life. Then everything will happen. So, I said, okay, no problem. Father and son, unfortunately, no point in speaking to them. Father wants to save the marriage of his son, but he doesn't know how to do amal. The son, he doesn't want to save it. What is he going to do amal? So I spoke to the mom. I gave her some of the mothers, mashallah, they're good. You know, they're able to do this. I gave her something. I said, we'll start reading these things and start doing these things. Again, I didn't hear about them. So it was very advanced when they came to me. So I definitely thought, yani, it's over. I went to that masjid for Jummah and I met that person. And I greeted him and I said, subhanAllah, because he was saying dead. He was so committed to find another wife. So I told him, you know, I met him after 8-9 months. How's the prospect? How's it going? Did you find any a new wife or whatnot? Oh, Mufti Sahib, I was just about to call you. Alhamdulillah, we have 3 months ago, we've had our first beautiful child. You know, I didn't get a chance to tell you, but alhamdulillah, we have the first baby in 3 months. I said, okay. Over there, yani, there was anger, was that no, we don't want kids because we hate each other. And here now he says, alhamdulillah, we already had a child a month ago or 2 months ago, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, like this, alhamdulillah, every day, wallahi alhamd, stories are there coming. if only we do what we're supposed to do. Right? So this is salah. I gave you this example. If someone doesn't pray salah, don't say, I feel bad. Make dua, my sister, my daughter. Make dua. How can I make dua for your daughter when you're not making dua yourself? How can I make dua for your son and you? Same thing for me. I cannot tell the whole world to make dua for myself when I don't make myself, right? You agree? This is the thing. So with dua, do specific amal. So this ayah is very powerful. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ الْغَمِّ. With this niya. All the type of ajeeb things that people come and share, that I have this weird feeling, I have this weird desire, this weird patani kya shahwa, all these things. This is all shaitan constantly is putting thoughts in our mind. So alhamdulillah, through the barakah of the Quran, every one of these things will remove. But how do you see, one is the tablets, one is me going into a drugstore or a pharmaceutical store and looking around. One is the pharmacist. Big difference. So which ayah to be recited in which manner for which thing, that's an art, that's a science, that is something that's been passed down from generations, that is something that Allah inspires people. So a person may be reading the entire Quran, but subhanAllah, he may be reading with ghafla, heedlessness. He may not even focus the way he ought to be. That same person, on the other hand, like today, just this morning, someone just texted me somewhere in the country, I don't know from where, said something crazy of what they're going through. I told him, read this. You know what his response was? Oh, subhanAllah, I don't need to read and I don't need to listen. I actually treat other people. I do ruqya for other people. If I were to tell you, I'm not going to say it in front of this crowd here. But it was horrible, disgusting, what he shared with me. Right? But this is, I don't think you're disgusting. Your thoughts are disgusting. And they're shaitani thoughts. So their treatment is, listen, read this and listen to this. What's the response? I don't need to do that. I'm a raqi myself. I do ruqya of other people. Arey bhai. Then I said, I'm not going to respond to this person. This is above my pay grade. I can't deal with this. We can deal with people who have sincerity in seeking help and wanting to practice. But aap khudi ustad ban gaye, right? If you're the ustad yourself, then you know it doesn't work like that. If you're the doctor yourself, then how can a doctor treat a person who says, no, I know everything? May Allah guide him and guide all of us and protect us from these horrible wasawis. But this is the point. Let's not think that we got it all. Big issue again, that our nafs and shaitan comes in and says, I really don't need anybody's help. So now let's talk about salah. All the ruqya and that we do in the world and all the ayahs you read in one place, but salah with sincerity is trumps all. Now, but a person, you got to get him to, what is the purpose of ruqya? What is the purpose of these adhkar that we're reading? Is to get his crutches. Say it. It's not to you be on your crutches your whole life. The idea is to get you at a level where you can start praying salah like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you can start praying salah like the Sahaba radiallahu anhum arda. When that happens, then done deal. We're not going to be moved by anybody. You heard that one of the imam of Jami Masjid, New Delhi. And in Delhi, not New Delhi, Delhi, during the Mughal Empire, he was a great scholar. And the king, one day, this is the official masjid where the king, the Mughal emperors would come for salah. So he came for salah. And the khatib was, the imam was giving his talk. And they have to do nahi anil munkar. They have to forbid from the evil, right? It's kind of today, if even a scholar of an imam of the masjid prohibits from evil, it becomes a talk of the town. Woo, today he was on fire, right? Did you hear? When I was previously imam of another masjid, if I would give the etiquettes of Eid, I'd say, bhai, listen, please do not come to Eid namaz with itr. And I share all the ahadith. Women, do not put on itr cologne when you come for Eid. The ahadith are so strong regarding this. Of cursed, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is cursing those women who come out of their home, even if they're going out for salah. Even if they're going out for salah, Abu Hurairah, he smelt it and he sent her back. He said, go back and go take, don't just wash yourself, go take a ghusl the way you take a fard ghusl. Imagine, don't jump into your shower. There's no shower. You gotta go get a bucket of water from the well and go take a, rub yourself, right? This is what Abu Hurairah said. The hadith are very strict. I remember I mentioned that immediately people said, "Aaj Mufti Saab ka jo hai, oh, such chal gaya, pata nahi kisne kya baat ki unko." I'm very angry. This is the aunties. Like Mufti Saab is very upset. What do you mean I'm upset? I'm not upset. I'm just sharing with you the ahkam. Tomorrow's Eid. Make sure we follow the protocol. That when you're coming, cover yourself up properly. Don't make this into a fashion show. And make sure you do not wear cologne and things of that sort when you are mixing with the opposite gender, meaning you're going through the section of the opposite gender when you're coming out of a house. Those ahadith are very clear. So nahi anil munkar unfortunately is not there anymore. The Imam of Jami Masjid New Delhi, he gave a khutbah, and bayan in it, he saw that the king is sitting there. So whether it was because of that or whatever, he's noticed that he's wearing silk. So in his khutbah, he talked about how a silk is haram. Okay? He mentioned it. The king went back to the palace and he told his secret guards, go grab the imam. How dare he mentioned something about me in the khutbah. He didn't mention the king, probably. Maybe he did, Allahu alam. But he mentioned what's up. So they dispatched him, right? The guard. So then, subhanAllah, the prince was the student of the imam. The prince was the student of the imam. The prince came to the imam and said, Imam, Hazrat Ustadji, big problem. My dad is super upset. And he is just sending now his secret service, his guards, to grab you, to arrest you. So may Allah grant us this level of yaqeen. Allahu Akbar. He's always like that. So he had his own attendant, his khadim. He told him, bhai, lota leao, o musalla leao. Bring me my water jug, because there's no taps there. Bring me my water jug for wudu, sunnah. Not sunnah method of doing wudu, to little water. And bring my prayer mat. When the son saw this, he ran back to the palace and he told his dad, Dad, please, I'm worried about your safety. Ustad Saab pulled out his prayer mat. Right? Khair nahi aapki. You're not, because we did yesterday's last night the final hadith in the candlelight. Whoever holds enmity against my friend, I declare war against it. I declare war against him. If we become the friend of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of our defense. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. Allah tells the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will save you from the people. But we have to become like this. My point of sharing this is that the quality salah is triumphs every single thing out there. 2 rakat salatul tahajjud, 2 rakat salatul hajah with yaqeen, hajah. Some of us ask me, I never heard of this. Salatul hajah is a salah that is performed for fulfillment of needs. 2 rakat salah, like you would do any nafil salah, you make niyah of hajah. And then, after you complete the salah, you recite the dua, La ilaha illa al-halim al-kareem, subhanallah rabbil ashir al-azim, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, till the end. And you, of course, you recite salah al-nabi before and after, you praise Allah before and after, and then you present your need. It's called Salatul Hajah. And this is a very beautiful, powerful salah. Whenever we have needs, we resort to this salah. So 2 rakat Salatul Hajah performed properly is the most powerful thing. But why are we doing ruqyah at times? Because we cannot even perform fajr. We can't come to the masjid for fajr. What are you going to do? That's where the tablet comes in. That's where the ruqyah comes in. That by your tablet, khao. Ye mana puri zindagi, you just keep on eating Tylenol. The goal is to be able to get you out of bed and do what you got to do. That's the point. So you have your basic morning and evening duas. You have your manzil. You have your masnoon duas for bathroom and this, that. All that type of stuff. That's there. Then there is the ruqya treatment. And the purpose of that ruqya treatment is to remove whatever's on you that does not allow you to do the basics and what you know you're supposed to be doing. Does that make sense? So some people say, I'm already reading manzil. I'm already reading morning and evening duas. Do I need to do anything else? Well, depending on how. Are you still feeling depressed? Are you still not able to make it for salah? Are you still not able to read Quran? Are you still falling asleep during dua and Quran? Are you still arguing with your spouse after doing all that? That means this is a little advanced thing. We need to you take your daily vitamins, you do your daily exercise, mashallah, you eat your veggies, but now you have an infection. Are you going to say, no, I eat my veggies and I do a daily exercise, so now my foot is infected and it's pus coming out there, I'm not going to do anything? Most people would say, no, I'm going to take a course of antibiotics. You don't have to, I'm just saying that's one method. Similarly, ruqya is like an antibiotic. Just because you're doing all the things does not mean you don't need an antibiotic. That's still required at times. Does that make sense? Right? So there's a lot of misconceptions people have on this, which we hope we can cover in one of the candlelights, if Allah wills. But I hope we understand that, because I try to explain this to people and people don't understand that. Okay, why do I need to do that? How can I have a problem when I read Quran? Right? It's like that. I run 2 miles a day. How did I get a stroke? How did I get a heart attack? Isn't that happening? Yes or no? People getting heart attack and strokes after we have been so healthy. Ho raha hai bhai, is right around us every day. So this is it. It is very possible that you were doing all the things, but then shaitan got you. And you're falling into a waswasa. And I want to tell our brothers in i'tikaf, you've got 3 days left. 3 days left. That's it. That's it. In these 3 days, shaitan will come to you so hard and will make you do things that you never thought you would. Thoughts, whispers about all sorts of things. Either waste time, wasting time, wasting time, wasting time. That's one big one. Number two is having ill thoughts about our spouse, our family, or even other people. Number three, seeing flaws and faults of other people. Was that flaw there? It was always there. But now you start seeing it. You get what I'm saying? This when you go out in khuruj in the path of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is our ulama say something. When you go in 40 days, they say the last week and the last few days, be careful. Shaitan will always try to come and create a fight. Within the last 2-3 days, because innama al-amalu bil khawatim. Actions are based on their endings. So if we end with a fight, we end with an argument, sara pani, sab ke upar aapne pani bhar diya. You've ruined the whole khuruj. You've ruined the whole i'tikaf. This is the thing. Guard your heart. Guard your mind. Do not allow ourselves to waste time. Do not allow ourselves to indulge. Even if we wasted, or not wasted, but did not optimize our time usage in the previous 7 days, utilize this next 3 days now. I ask all of you to please become a da'i. All these brothers, subhanAllah, I'm saying this like the 10th time. Every year I say this. There's so many brothers who do not sit in these talks. Wallahi al-azim, they need nothing more than the talks. They don't need to sit in their corners and sit in their reading or be on their phones. They need to be sitting in the talks. It's hard for me to openly tell someone you have a disease. If a doctor just comes to me and says, you know what, I diagnose you with this, I might get insulted. I may. But he's doing it out of kindness that, you know, you have this problem. We usually appreciate medical doctors' unsolicited advice. What do you say? Ya shukriya, yaar, aapne bacha diya. Thank you so much. I didn't realize I possibly have this problem. But how many of us appreciate unsolicited Imam Sheikh Saab's advice? Even the kids don't appreciate of their dad, much less. So there are things, I tell you very clearly, things become so apparent because all day you're dealing with spiritual diseases, they become so apparent to a person who deals in that field that this is a spiritual disease. But out of haya haya and inhibition, we may not say it. But our problems will get solved if we sit in the talks. How much more clear can I say it than that? Right? You guys get what I'm saying? So give da'wat. Right? Invite all the boys and the brothers, even the older ones. I'm a frank person. The older people are closer to death than the younger ones, more than likely. The older people have as many spiritual illnesses as the younger people. It's just a different flavor. That's it. It's a different thing. He's not thinking about playing video games because he's gone beyond that. He's thinking about something else. The spiritual diseases present in every... In the imam has the spiritual diseases. The maulana has spiritual diseases. The musalli has the spiritual diseases. The old lady has it. The old man has it. All of us have it. We just got to get it treated. So the concept is that, no, I'm here in i'tikaf, I don't need to sit and talk. Where is this coming from? Why do we have this attitude? SubhanAllah. So how many of us sit in the morning tafsir? Or how many of us, subhanAllah, sit in the evening tafsir? We're just running. We're in i'tikaf. Where are you going? We're just running back to our room. Running back to our phone. 3 days, I request all of you to please, you're not going to get this. How many of you attend Tuesday night tafsir? How many of you attend the Monday night compass? How many attend live? Attends Durood Sharif gathering on Thursday night? How many attend a Saturday morning team fajr? The local people who are sitting here, or even those who are driving. We know where we stand. Now Allah has given us 3 days, we're forced to stay here. Why not just say, subhanAllah, I'm going to sit in every program. Keep your tasbih with you, and sit. Why are we thinking this is a waste of time? If this is a waste of time, honestly, I shouldn't be sitting here. I should be with my shaykh overseas right now. If this is a waste of time. If you think this is a waste of time, what am I doing over here? So this idea is the idea that, subhanAllah, no, people are thinking, nah, this is all, anything happened in the masjid. That's why there's some boys reading, young men were reading Quran the other day when you had the greatness of Allah gathering here. I told them, put your mushaf away and come sit here. Have you ever sat in a greatness of Allah discussion? They said, no. You can read all the Quran you want. The greatness of Allah has to come in our. That's why we're not obeying Allah today. Because we do not have the reverence for Allah. All the people who are committing major sins, do they not read Quran once in a while? Yes, they do. How come they're committing major sins? Because the Quran is not hitting the heart. The azama and the greatness of Allah is not hitting it. When we sit in these gatherings, do not look at who's speaking. Allah is provided. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Innama ana qasim wallahu al-mu'ti." I am but a distributor, and the one who's giving is Allah. So imagine the person who's speaking. Don't look at the scholar. You say, this guy, he does this, he does that. Leave that. You said, Ya Allah, I'm here for you and nobody else. Ya Allah, allow this session, whichever I'm attending. Allow me to hear that which will really hit my heart and wake me up to my diseases. And allow me to cure that. This is what it is. So I'm making all of you ambassadors again and again that those brothers who are not coming to the program, please invite them. You can sleep enough time. There's zero program between Ishraq and Zuhr namaz. Don't wake up at 10. Don't wake up at 9. Sleep. But what's the point that a person wakes up at 9 and then he doesn't attend the other programs? He's sleeping when the program is happening. This is my point. This is also a deception of shaitan. That you, in the house of Allah, you are being deprived from attending the circles of knowledge. That will change your life. That will change your life. So this is deception of shaitan. We're being deceived in the middle of Ramadan, in our i'tikaf, in our sunnah i'tikaf, in so many ways. Are you all understanding what I'm saying? Or am I be deceived saying this? Huh? What do you think? Maybe I'm deceived. Tell me. So just adjust your schedule. Adjust your sleeping schedule so that you don't miss any program. Jitna Quran padh liya apne, alhamdulillah. Whatever Quran you recited, alhamdulillah. Just attend the programs. There are people who attend all the programs and still doing 15, 20 juz a day. Who said that if you attend the program, you cannot read Quran? That's wrong. Just read 3 juz, 5 juz. Lekin this attending the program will at least, because how many people are sitting here but their wives have no deen in them? How many people sitting here, their children don't have deen? But I don't want you to walk back with this level of yaqeen and iman and you go to a home that's got nothing going on and you go shoof, right back down. That will happen. That osmosis, right? That will create this equilibrium where everything just goes down. Same thing. How do I work on my wife? How do I work on my son, my daughter, my mom and dad? You got to come up with a strategy for that. And that's not going to happen by sitting in your corner, just reading or sleeping or being on your phone. Attend each and every single lesson and say, Ya Allah, these are my problems. Guide me. So how many of you, inshallah, make this commitment that you will attend the programs between now and Thursday night? Raise your hand. Sorry. I'm serious. This is commitment. Make this commitment. If you fall asleep, you fall asleep. But make this niyyah. Take it? Alright? Make this niyyah that I will attend. And adjust your sleeping schedule. Adjust your sleeping schedule. That, alhamdulillah, you'll get this. Number two, you come with your list. Ki ya Allah, mujhe ye cheez, I need answers for these things. And based on that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant us answers. Number three, my ask from you is to encourage and push everyone else. Everyone else from your rooms to make rounds and say, by ajal, ajal. You know, this hurts me when I see people that after 10 days, they go back and phir we're back to not coming for salah with jama. Ye kaisa ho sakta yaar? How can a person be in the masjid for 10 days and not show up for fard salah? How can a person be in 10 days and not able to connect himself with a scholar afterwards? Not make a regular, you know, hizb and wird of Quran. That there, no person should be here for 10 days and says, my wife still doesn't wear hijab. Not possible. My daughters don't wear hijab. Not possible. You know why that's happening? Because you haven't made this a commitment. To say, I will, my life will be to make sure my daughter comes into the deen. My life is going to be committed to my wife coming to deen. How is it possible that we live this dichotomic relationship? That I'm going gung-ho all the way here and then my spouse and my children are at a different level. Of course, you're going to say, well, don't you have Nuh alayhi salam, Lut alayhi salam story? Bhai, they made effort. Tell me how much effort are we making? Can you really say you made full effort? No, you can't say that. This is the point. We want, by the end, by Thursday night, we go back with a game plan that inshallah, my whole house is going to be connected to the deen. Say inshallah. Right? That my son and daughter will be connected to the deen even beyond me. I'm going to make so much dua for them. And I'm not just going to make dua, I'm going to make effort. Effort. And this is, you're struggling. What you're doing, you're pulling. You're not pulling. You say, by Mufti Sahib, you already announced it. Why do I got to go tell people? Asalma, you are not being mean with people. This is the kindness. This is the kindness and love that you have for the people that you constantly keep on telling them. Constantly. Some of you might say, by how many times are you going to say? I know some people feel like that. But what we learn from our elders is that you are not grabbing someone's hand. What are you doing? You are yanking him out of shaitan's grip. It's like tug of war with shaitan. Shaitan's behind you, him, and you're in front. And he's pulling and I'm pulling. Or you're pulling and he's pulling. Got it? He's getting stuck for both sides. But if only you'd realize that he's being pulled away from the grasp of shaitan. This is the main thing we need to focus on. It is narrated in Sawani Qasimi that Mawlana Qasim Nanadwi fell sick on the return trip from Hajj, from his last Hajj. He could not even muster the strength to sit or stand and was constantly in pain. The attendant sat him up and he vomited so much, but only bile came out. Then the attendant washed his mouth and laid him back down. This is Hajj on a ship. A few minutes went by and he sat up again, vomiting. Never did he get a moment in the night or day to sleep in peace. But when Salah time came, the vomiting would stop and he would pray without any interruptions. The minute he completed his Salah, his vomiting bouts would start up again. Maulana Qasim Narnadi's wife, whose marriage story you read here, he said his habit was to drink milk before going to bed. When he returned after Isha and came up to his room on the second story, I arrived at his room with a glass full of milk. By habit, I knew he was in a good mood if he waited on me, and he was unhappy if he started prayers without waiting. SubhanAllah. The wife says, I knew if my husband was unhappy if he started prayers without waiting for me, during the milk, and if he was good mood if he would wait for me. Sometimes Hazrat, yani her husband, spent the whole night in salah, and I would be standing the whole night with a glass of milk in my hand. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Where was yani this sacrifice that she's making for her husband is the reason we're sitting here today. I said this earlier. Mona Qasim Nanadwi's wife is our great grandmother. And she is the great founder of all the madaris of this tradition. Think about that. But when Allah looks at your sacrifice, sisters who are listening, that sacrifice you do at home, you say, oh, nobody knows what I'm doing. I'm quietly sitting at home doing these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what you're doing. With the ikhlas with which you take care of your husband, the ikhlas with which we take care of your children, Allah Azza wa Jalla is watching. You have by far more ikhlas than me sitting in front of you speaking here. Think about it. After all, I'll say, mashallah, you said right, or you didn't say right, all these things. I'm in the front. You're sitting somewhere, no one knows about you, and you quietly serving your duties of Allah and your husband and your children. Inshallah, you will see the reward in a manner that will baffle you. And the sacrifice that you're making out of sincerity, the barakah of this will most definitely be seen in your children and your generations to come. One young man here in our gathering, I met his dad and I hugged him and I said, Mubarak, Mubarak. Listen to this story. This is a story I should say tonight, but I'll say it now. I said, Mubarak to you. He said, khair Mubarak, what happened? I said, SubhanAllah, I was fundraising for Gaza the other day, and from the entire audience, SubhanAllah, your son ended up giving the largest check. Right? And he is still yani in his training. He doesn't even have a full-time job yet. And I said, honestly, like, this is something I am so happy for you, that Allah has given you such a son who is so generous. And I know, mashallah, his mother too, very pious, good people. I said, this is the barakah of the beautiful tarbiyah and your own fikr, because whatever the dad has, the quality has, mashallah, moved on into the son. The father is very generous, alhamdulillah, made it into the son. And I remember that day when he came asking and telling me a story that my son is in professional school and now the tuition has come, it's 60,000 for a year, I don't have the cash. And I made a commitment, I will never indulge in riba. So I begged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I said, Ya Allah, kuch bhi ho jai. My son doesn't go to school, medical school, no problem. Like, riba mein nahi hath lagaunga. I'm not going to touch riba. And he said, it seemed impossible. The due date was 24 hours later. We had no money for it. And subhanAllah, he said, I just cried and made so much dua, that from the unseen treasures of Allah Azza wa Jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instantaneously provided me that money to be able to take care of that. That is the power of a pious lady and a pious man, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just now within a few years is showing the barakah of it in the kids. So dear mothers, understand that what we are doing in secret is being watched by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're going to see it in the form of your children as well. Qari Tayyib rahmatullah alayhi writes that his attachment to Allah was so great that he always prayed jama'ah with the first takbir and started preparing for the salah the minute the adhan was called. Similarly, he used to say, Qari Tayyib sahab says about his grandmother, Mona Qasim Nanadi's wife, he said her habit was to put all her work aside when the mu'adhin called out hayya ala salah, as if she had nothing to do with the world. She completely disengaged herself from everything. When the adhan would be called, immediately she would drop everything and run towards salah. This attachment to salah is everything. When we want to see how well I am doing, my health, what is my spiritual health? If my ustad asks me, how are you doing? The number one way to check my spiritual health is, what is the quality of my salah? Namaz mein dil lag raha hai ya nahi lag raha hai? And dil lagna ka mana meaning, are we praying all salah with jama'ah as men? Or are we missing? If we're praying salah with jama'ah, are we making it sunnah mu'akkada or not? How many times are we missing our raka'ah? How many times are we missing takbirat al-ula? And in the process of salah, how many times are we focusing on salah and our mind shifting away? That is the barometer of our ruhaniya. It is not possible to be a healthy Muslim if we just go vote and encourage others to be involved in civic work, which alhamdulillah we're doing from the member here every day. But then when it comes to salah, we're zero. That's not a healthy Muslim. The health of us is most definitely starts off with our attachment to salah. Let's all make dua. رَبِّ جَعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي رَبَّنَا تَقَبَلْ دُعَاءِ. Oh Allah, make myself and my zuriya, my children, from amongst those who establish salah properly. May Allah give us the attachment to the salah that we can give up everything but not give up salah. Subhanallah wa bihamdi, subhanak Allahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Let us proceed downstairs. We have inshallah 7 minutes and we'll inshallah begin our dua.